good Sunday evening. Welcome to episode 141 of Folks Talking Sports. I am Gardner of the Houston Round Ball Review. With me is Willie Gibson. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How you feel?
Doing well. And also with me is A.D. Moore. I wasn't expecting him to join us right now. Kenitra Williams will join us hopefully momentarily. But three of us are here. And let's, Brother Gibson, it's been a while. And I apologize for all that. You know, but just dealing with stuff and business and things going slow and people saying no and all that kind of stuff. So, but here we are. Have to launch the logo, new logo launch, new merch launch. And as she is accustomed, as customary for her, her support, Miss Wanda came through and was the first person to make a purchase of, got a new hoodie with a new logo. She did that on Friday, I think, Thursday or Friday. So she come through, need to clone her and Steve Saxenian. We do that, then me and Willie and AD will be straight for life. We can clone them. Yeah, that's support coming through. Big Thrillo, how you doing? Thrillo is in Chicago, I think. I think that's where he is now. I think that's right, if I remember correctly. Brother Gibson.
Yes, sir.
Talk about the Browns. Let's catch us up to speed about Deshaun Watson and everything and his injury and all that kind of stuff, if you don't mind.
No, I don't. Tore his Achilles against the Bengals 2 weeks ago now. Out for the season. Had surgery about 10 days ago. And Dr. Richard Anderson in Charlotte, North Carolina, on track for full recovery. Now the question is where he takes his next snap, because it's 3 years in Cleveland. He's due a guaranteed $96 million or $92 million the next 2 years, $46 million per season. However, the cap number is $73.7 million. For the next 2 years, or now, and I don't know. Right, that leaves the Browns about $40 million over the cap for next year, 2025. So it'll be interesting to see what they do on Tuesday, trade deadline in the NFL. Number of names: Za'Darius Smith is one name to look to be traded potentially. I'll tell you one name that's not going to be traded: Myles Garrett is not going to be traded, so we can stop that.
All those joining us right now, add some beauty to the screen. Miss Kenitra Williams, how are you doing, TP? Good.
Hi guys.
You didn't come soon enough.
go ahead, Will. Sorry, Myles Garrett won't be traded, but go ahead. All right.
No, Za'Darius Smith is a potential name to be moved by Tuesday, possibly to Detroit. He's in the last year of his deal. They've already moved Amari Cooper. Smith is probably the only one for now that'll be moved. But they lost today to fall to 2-7. Jameis Winston. Jameis is there to fulfill a role. He's the backup quarterback, and he took a lot of heat today for some throws, but he's there. The expectation is not high for this team at 2-7. So
he's the morale booster.
He is.
Is he? Is he though? I mean, is he accomplishing that?
No, no. He's a great reel. He's a great, and James is a great guy. Don't get me wrong. This is not any shade towards him. You see the pregame speech, you see the huddle, and that's genuine. That's authentic.
Hype man.
Yeah, he is. That is not a show. He is absolutely, positively, 100% himself. But this team is a lot more away than just the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people put a lot of undue criticism on Deshaun and thought when Deshaun was no longer there, all was cured, and last week those people took a victory lap because they beat Baltimore without Deshaun. Well, those people came back to reality today because they lost they lost to the Los Angeles Chargers today. it's not a good team. It's not. It's not. The defense, what is this, week 9? Miscommunications on defense and the defensive back in the secondary led to 2 65-plus-yard touchdown passes by Justin Herbert. Miles Garrett had 3 sacks in the first half, but it takes more than that. So this team is they have a lot to look over during this bye week, and we'll see what happens.
Willie, who would you say has the most flaws? Cleveland, New Orleans, Chicago.
Chicago. Oh, well.
So, say Dallas, because, you know, I got to smile and cheese up on that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's the law of the lid in Dallas. I mean, then they're going to go as far as the GM is going to take them. And, by the way, the GM is also the president, who, by the way, the president is also the owner. Mm. So, that's that. So.
But Willie, before we get to AD, about talk about Texans.
Define flaws, because I'm trying to figure out all the teams. I mean, issues? Other than the Kansas City, other than the Kansas City Chiefs, everybody in the league got some flaws and issues. Some folks just got more issues than others.
That was my question. Who has the most to fix?
Well, don't the Chiefs have like injuries at wide receiver? I mean, it's kind of minor compared to everybody else's problems, but you know.
They were fortunate to find a way to win that first month of the season. They could have easily lost each one of those games.
But the thing about it, that one of their flaws was not their defense. And so that in itself, their defense has carried them to the point that until they can start getting their offensive systems rolling, that defense is really just a continuation from last year, the end of the latter part of last year through the Super Bowl up until now. That Kansas City Chiefs defense is starting to remind me a lot of that one that beat the Minnesota Vikings when Hank Stram was walking up and down the sideline. They are becoming
AD.
What?
Fix the Texans offensive line problems.
I thought they were fixed at one point. I'm serious. I really did. I really thought that the Texans offensive line issues were starting to come into focus. Then they had some injuries really right after that first week. After that first week, the Texans started having injuries. You had Juice Shrugs went out. Then Kenyon Green had issues right after that first week. And really, and not making excuses, I'm just telling you, those guys in between Shaq Mason and still being the only dominant offensive lineman they had consistently since last year, because Laremy Tunsil had issues with the ankle and everything, and even Titus has even been out with some lower body issues. So this thing has just been a hodgepodge of just issues, and really you got a quarterback and Willie and I know we've talked about this young man. Yo, he's ready. He can still go, but the thing about it, he needs help right now. And the bottom line is everybody has a year's worth of film on him now. And I think Bobby Slowick has to turn around and start. He's got to start doing some things different. If not, I'm going to challenge him, and I'm also going to challenge the Texans quality control, because there's some certain plays they run, and I wish the hell they would just go ahead and lock them away, because I've been seeing some plays running, and I'm going like, damn, do not run those plays again. I mean, and now that you don't have your number one receiver, you know, at the beginning of the year, he was on all-pro level, Nico Collins. Right. Stephon Diggs is gone, and he's finished. So Tank Dell, and see, Tank is still learning a lot of things about the NFL. And I think between Diggs and Nico, they were helping him, really giving him cover to really expand and explore. But now you had a situation now that Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson, these guys got to step up. And I think what you saw last week was the fact that not being that familiar with CJ, and it's growing pains right now. and it's growing pains all the way around. And really, guys, if you and really might have mentioned it at the beginning of the year, I've stated, I'll say this is going to be interesting how this team's going to respond when adversity hits them. I stated that at the beginning of the year because I want to see, because last year nobody expected the Texans to be anywhere.
Right.
Really, they did. And so now where we are now, this is now I want to see a professional football team. Now I want to see maturity and maturation. And really what we are seeing now are growing pains. The Texans are fortunate to be, hey, they're only 6-3. I never said that they were going to go undefeated this year. I never said that. I picked them at 11-6. So, but the game, the only one butt kicking they got was in Minnesota. They had the opportunity to beat Green Bay, and they darn sure had the opportunity to beat Aaron Rodgers. Now, that's right, it in a nutshell.
KP, sound like you have something you want to toss in there. What are you gonna say?
Well, no, like, did you write down when we last time we were all together? Did you write down like our predictions on Texans wins?
I did not.
Because I'm trying to remember. Like, I
know AD was 11-6, like he said. What did you about the same thing? You did 10-7, 11-6.
I think I said 10.
Yeah. Y'all were, I think you were one lower than AD. Yeah.
Yeah, right in there. Okay. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like, okay, every team, injury is part of the game. We get it. But it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Strategically, trade deadline, what you going to do? Are you going to make some moves? Are you going to tough it out? Are you going?
Well, I was about to ask Willie Gibson, did they have any more receivers in Cleveland? But no, really, if there are some good, I mean, obviously there are plenty more receivers out there than good offensive linemen, and nobody's about to give. You'll see folks give up on a receiver, some guy who just not going to work out with them, as opposed to giving up a quality offensive lineman. People aren't giving up quality offensive linemen. No. And especially if they know it's going to help the Houston Texans. Look here. Let's put it like this. That's like, you know, that favorite uncle that comes to the family cookout. And then after 5 minutes, he's been there. Y'all wish the hell he's gone. Go back home.
without fixing him a plate to go.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. No, we ain't giving him nothing.
Willie, back to Thurlow's question, will the Browns GM make the
– Yeah, AB is safe. Andrew Berry's fine. The popular opinion is they go back to the Deshaun contract, which owner Jimmy Haslam guaranteed,
right,
not Andrew Berry. So billionaire says give him $230 million, you give him $230 million.
How about Mr. Chubb? How's he doing?
I'm sorry?
Mr. Chubb.
Nick is fine. Third game back. His carries are, they have him on still a bit of a pitch count. More and more carries, a few more carries this week, but traumatic, and I use that word literally, traumatic left knee injury. And he's coming back slow, but he's fine.
And folks who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, we're going to talk Rockets too. We can talk about Rockets. The Jekyll and Hyde Rockets through these first six games, they played.
How did the Rockets lose a game and Steph was sitting on the bench? How does that happen?
Well, salute to the Warriors because they've won without Steph so far this season because of Buddy Hield, Jonathan Kuminga, different guys have stepped up. But I did a Rockets show Friday. Thrillo was part of that conversation. The fans were. Not so much the Rocket fans who were part of my show, because after the win on Thursday in Dallas, you know, some colleagues were like, oh, that was a statement win by the Rockets. I'm like, the hell it was, five games into a season. But anyway.
It was a win.
It was a win. And I asked the fans if you would be disappointed. How disappointed would you be on a scale of 1 to 10 if the Rockets would lose Saturday to the Steph-less Warriors? And Thrillo said to a man, he said 10. Flat out 10. I'm tired of losing to the Warriors. I'm tired of losing to Steph not there, Clay not there. The Rockets need to win. Well, they did win. They lost overtime. But they came back. They were down 31 points in the first half to the Steph Curry-less Warriors, down 28 at halftime, but they came back to force overtime because of Tari Eason and Jabari Smith and Amen Thompson. And then Jabari said, locker room after the game, man, I was tired. I didn't have anything left for overtime. And Rockets made one shot in OT out of 12 attempts. And the Warriors said, thank you very much. We're going to take this dub. And the Warriors, after the game, in the locker room, coming down the hall, they were happy as hell. Like they beat somebody. So this is a rivalry. Tari Eason said it to us. I don't like the Warriors. I just don't. I don't like the Warriors. But based on the reaction from the Warriors players, the feeling is mutual. They don't like the Rockets either because they were jumping up and down. Yeah, 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 we did it. I'm like, y'all beat the Rockets. I mean, okay. Hooray. Why y'all? Have, but that's where
we're in November.
Yeah. Willie Gibson, the team, the NBA team you're covering is the best team out of the this foursome. So your thoughts on how the Cavs are doing?
Great. Kenny Atkinson has unlocked the offense. J.D. Bickerstaff was a defensive-minded coach. He's a coach. He got them as far as he could have gotten them.
And bless him for having defense in Detroit. Bless him. They're doing a much better job.
They are. They are. But Kenny Atkinson has the offensive prowess that this team needed. And Donovan Mitchell is going to do what Donovan Mitchell does. But the key has been Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley's offense has been, I mean, he's shooting threes, mm-hmm. number one. He's bringing the ball up the court at 7 feet, number two. And he goes 10 deep, consistently 10 deep. I don't think they played Friday night against Orlando. Granted, it was the first time we're back-to-back, but Donovan Mitchell played just under 30 minutes and led the team in minutes because Kenny Atkinson goes 10 deep.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be crucial. Granted, it's November, but you get into December, January, February, and down the line, the depth that this team has, that they had last year as well, but Kenny Atkinson is utilizing it. Go pay dividends big time when it comes to playoff time.
Cleach, I want to ask you first, but I want to get everybody's thoughts on this. I know Anthony Edwards' answer to the question he was asking post-game in the locker room about it. But Anthony Edwards, in my opinion, is taking too many threes. KP, what do you think? Do you agree with me or do you agree with Anthony Edwards? 13 a game is too many for Anthony Edwards.
It's his team now. He didn't have to share the ball. Why shouldn't he? Shooter's going to shoot.
Well, he's not a shooter.
He's
a scorer, but he's not a shooter.
I didn't say he's a Steph Curry shooter. He's going to shoot. And that's the thing. The game has changed. It's no longer
too much.
It's no longer the dunks unless it's a breakaway. It's about how many threes can we jack in a game?
What do you say, Will?
Yeah.
Is that too many threes for him?
Yes.
As Kenicho said, who's going to tell him no? Chris Finch? No. Rudy Gobert? No. Rudy needs to stop running from Russ, but that's a little story. No. I mean, if he doesn't shoot him, who's gonna shoot him?
In the words, she by Sheree, who gonna check me, boo?
Huh? I see you went there. See, yeah. you went there. But and they're up and down right now too. He is, in my opinion, I'm old school. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm old school. Y'all know it. Thrillo knows it. Space A knows it. CA knows it. I'm old school. When you're as athletic as he is, get to the paint, get free throws, get some dunks, 13 three-pointers attempts a game for a guy that's – he ain't Steph. You know, he ain't Klay Thompson in his prime. Come on, man. Especially if a team isn't winning as well. Look in the mirror, bro. Look in the mirror.
He's shooting 13. What's he making?
4.5, 5.
Okay. 35%, 38%. All right.
It's less than that, guys. Come on, man. If you only getting 4 out of 13,
I think it's five. I went five.
Now, but the thing about it, I mean, Ant-Man is a slasher.
Yes,
he's a slasher. He him standing out at the 3-point line is a waste of his talents, as far as I'm concerned.
And I agree. And,
I mean, you trying to, I mean, from last year to now, he is reincarnated as I am now a long range shooter.
He's a streak shooter. And for the most part, if I'm the opponent, I'm like, go ahead, man.
Yeah.
You know, standing out there jacking up threes, that's good. That means no fouls on my big man, no free throws. Hey, go ahead, jack him up. That's
28.
Do you?
He's definitely 28. Last year averaged 26. So
I know what he's averaging. Yeah. He can still average those 28 by getting to the free throw line more instead of shooting so many.
But here's the question. By him driving less, he's enduring less contact. Does that make it better for him for the duration of the season so he's not as beat up? If you stand out and shoot, okay, you got a hand in your face, but you're not getting beat upside the head, hit across the body. You're drawing less contact.
Yeah, but KP, here's the deal, though.
That's weak.
You
could be right, but that's weak in my opinion.
Yeah, but here, I mean, come on, what is this? What is this, only the sixth game of the sixth or seventh ball game of the year?
Yeah,
heck, I mean, none of these guys been hit, hurt, or whatever. Please give me a break. They can pay. Those are professionals. I mean, what we on load management now already? And it's only the sixth ball game of the year.
Yeah, let's get into some of that too.
That's about Philly. About load management.
You know, but yeah. Space says with a comment here. We're going to talk about Mr. Embiid in just a moment. Don't worry about that. Space says you don't leave LP out the entire OT. You just don't. Yeah, you do. If you don't like the man's defensive effort, yeah, you do.
Are you LP, saying he's a liability?
Sometimes, yes. Especially when he's not hustling on defense. Mm. Not giving effort on defense. And Coach Udoka, that just won't work. I mean, you got to give me effort. I know you're not a great defensive player, but you got to compete and hustle back on defense and match up with people.
Did he just get the bag?
He did. Okay. And that may not be a wise thing long term either. But he also left the bench and went to the locker room 2 minutes left in the second quarter last night.
Hmm.
And Ime said he didn't notice. He didn't realize it. That's what he said. We all saw it. But LP started the third quarter. He played the whole third quarter. So he was on the floor doing the comeback when Charleston carried them and cut that deficit from 28 to like 15, whatever. But yeah, LP walked. He got up and walked down the baseline and went to the locker room with 2 minutes left in the first half.
What was that at halftime?
He didn't talk to us after the game. He was nowhere around. So we didn't get a chance to ask him about it. But
ask anybody else about it.
Ime didn't say. Like I said, he said he didn't know anything about it. What can we? You know, we got to take him at his word. You know, so.
Well, what did the assistant coaches say?
We don't talk to them.
That's not my issue. Doesn't the assistant coach talk to? They not allowed to talk to the head coach.
Well, I don't know I don't know who knew, who didn't know. We can't talk to them. So I don't know.
It sounded like some cover up going on. Come on, it's already your first part of the year. I mean,
I got something else to say in a minute. That's not going to make Tillman happy, but you know, whatever.
I mean, somebody had to unlock the locker room door.
Thank you. I mean, it's not left open.
Well, you know, but we're not talking to the equipment guy about it. You know, who I've known for years. But KP. Your Nova Knicks are one less Nova Nick.
I know.
Your thoughts on Cat and what he's doing with the Knicks. I know he destroyed Jalen Duren on Friday. Boy. Mm.
So maybe that's the thing. So maybe Dante can get his shots with the T-Wolves, you know,
Well, but he can if Ant's taking all of them.
Right. No, like, you know, so far I like the distribution of the offense, spreading it around. I just wonder about lack of size and lack of depth as you get in to April. You know, right now, hey, it's all new, it's all fun, hey, it's good. But you know, as you get deeper into the season, I think that could be exposed, you know, not having depth in the post.
Fair enough. But let me say this, little tidbit to share with everyone. And then we're going to talk about Mr. Embiid. Last night at the downtown building where the Rockets play, it did not rain hard, okay? It stormed in other parts of Houston. Mm-hmm. But it did not rain very hard downtown. But somehow, the media section where I sat and some of my colleagues, the roof leaked. We started getting hit with raindrops. So much so that I had to move. Me and one of my colleagues, we had to go downstairs. So the drip, drip, drip started late second quarter. And we looked up like, where is this coming from? And we thought it was like a fan, you know, spilling something like that.
Condensation, yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that. So the drip kept getting worse. And then come back from halftime, the table is just wet. It just drops. It's like a little pool of rainwater on the table and on the floor. So we're like, yeah. And I'm 3 seats down from him. So fourth quarter, he already left to go downstairs. Fourth quarter, it started spreading down to where I sat. I got to start hitting with drops. So I'm like, yeah. And so we reported it. We'll see if it's corrected by tomorrow because the Rockets host KP's Knicks tomorrow evening. We'll see how that goes. I won't be there. I'll be at the Peter Center, Tillman's other building, to watch the Houston Cougars tip off their season against the Jackson State Tigers, coached by Mo Williams, Willie Gibson, mm-hmm. Mo Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Sampson had some very nice words to say about Mo Williams in Friday's press conference. I always ask about Mo and when the Cougars played Jackson State. So we'll see how that all plays out. But, yeah, I just want to add a little tidbit about, I don't know if it's a ceiling tile or a paneling, whatever. But, yes, it leaked inside the building last night.
So, Chris, to your knowledge, like, were there any other section fans throughout, or was it just isolated?
Not that we know of. So we'll find out. But traffic getting around there was not enough security people, the traffic folks directing traffic. I was in, it took me 30 minutes to go 5 blocks. I mean, come on. Without stuff. It took me 30 minutes to go 5 blocks.
Well, was everybody at Rice Stadium?
I don't know what was going on. If Dynamo, I don't know if there's a concert going on downtown or if it all let out because it wasn't from TD ECU where the Cougs played and beat Kansas State. 17th ranked Kansas State team. First win over a top 25 team in a few years.
Good win.
But
what was the attendance?
Announced like 23,000. With the rain and everything. That's
yeah, no, I just saw like
the crowd. Yeah, it wasn't the
wide shot, you know, opening. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, it wasn't good. But thank you to the K-State fans who made the trip.
Yeah, they travel.
So thank you. Appreciate that. Thank y'all for go home and take that L with you. So it's all good about that. Corey Miller. Willie Gibson, your thoughts on what the Buckeyes mm-hmm. did over Penn State?
Let's see.
James Franklin.
What's wrong, AD? What's wrong, AD?
I'm going to say some things. I'm not going to say it. But I'm
what's wrong,
say
AD?
James Franklin. Huh? You know.
Chris, before Mr. Gibson starts his eloquent presentation on the Ohio State, I've already had to just come humbly to him and just, you know, ask for forgiveness. You know, I felt like the James Franklin and White outfit, you know, maybe just this time, maybe just once, you know, dear God, he would just give him some, you know, the football gods would look favorably on the midway line. They didn't.
Nope. Nope.
It's all L-O-V-E, man. It's all love. All love. That the 20-13 Buckeye victory ran James Franklin's record to 1-10 versus the Buckeyes. There's levels to this. It's interesting that he's 1-10 against the Buckeyes, but you never, just now, you're starting to hear rumblings about, is this the end for him? Is it, should this be time to get him out of there? I mean, the Buckeyes, they handled business. I mean, they went in there. Actually, truth be told, there were probably about 3 touchdowns that they left on the field. Should have been a much wider margin than it was. Will Howard fumbled through the end zone. There was a pass where he threw Carnell Tate wide open. That was out of bounds. That would have been a touchdown. Freshman Jeremiah Smith dropped a touchdown pass where he was wide open. Ohio State, and this was the first game when they rebuilt the offensive line. The left tackle and the left guard were brand new going into Beaver Stadium yesterday. But big win. Moved up to number 3 in the country, 7-1, and now it's November. So you have 2 games to get ready for the stretch run. You have Purdue this week, and after that you have Northwestern. Then you have Indiana and the team up north, the rival, coming in to finish. I did that for you, AD, the rival, to finish the season. So it's all about the 12. It's all about the 12 now. It's all about the final 12. You know, they have to win out to gain the rematch December 7th in Indianapolis against Oregon. And that's for the Big Ten title. That's for the first round bye. It's not enough just to get into the 12. It's about getting that top 4 slot in the first round bye. You know, it's great to have a home playoff game December 20th, but it's better not to have to play that extra game and just wait till New Year's Day in the Rose Bowl. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Willie, what are your thoughts of how Will Howard has handled the opportunity to be the Buckeyes quarterback this season?
How he's handled it, I think he's handled it fine. The expectation for Will Howard is to not, and I don't necessarily, I'm going to use a term that a lot of people don't like, just manage the game. You don't have to go out there and win the game. I mean, you have Jeremiah Smith, you have Emeka Ibuka, you have Quinshon Judkins, you have Trevion Henderson. You don't have to go out there and throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns like Cam Ward had to do for Miami yesterday. You just have to do your job, manage the game. And he's fine. The expectations, I mean, he's doing exactly what he's expected to do. No more, no less. And I think he's handled it well.
Got someone chiming in from England. Wow. Okay. I'm leery of that. Just because it's new, so I hope it's not a troll. Thank you very much. If you're a legit fan, appreciate it. All right, now it's time for the assault. Oh, I mean the shove. Joel Embiid, what were y'all's thoughts on when you first heard about it? First saw it on Twitter, social media, or TV, whatever. Your initial reaction to it? Because there hasn't been anything today if the NBA, right? That'll be Monday or Tuesday. But what are your thoughts on it?
I just think it was a culmination of a lot of things. There's some frustration. Of course, he's hearing from the haters about, oh, so you could play in the Olympics, but you know you can't play for your team. You're the franchise and trust the process and all this. And then all of a sudden, where's JoJo? Where's Embiid? But again, if somebody comes after you and your family, yeah, you're going to defend their honor. And, you know, somebody catches you on the wrong day and you're already in your feelings. Hey, you pop off.
Will?
Agreed. I mean, we all are credential media. We cover sports at the highest level, and you got to know it can never become personal. And for that columnist to mention his late brother and his child, that certain things are off limits. You have to know, you know the lines. We all know the lines. And to take that the way where he did, do you condone it? No, but I understand.
But I understand.
Yeah.
AD?
Yeah.
All right. I think the underlying part was it was a columnist that did this. Now, a columnist and a reporter, we're talking about two different people now. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not giving credence to a columnist because the columnist, that's what he does. That's their opinion. His opinion is out there to shock you, move you, and do everything else. I'm laid that groundwork. You talk about my family, I'm gonna break all 12 off of his behind is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just tell you straight up. And I'm a professional, and we've all had to deal with high maintenance athletes and so forth. There's a certain way to do it. I give deference and respect to them as a professional and so forth. But however, I'm gonna conduct myself in a way that, because if you come wrong on me and I know I've treated you right, we gonna talk about it. And if we can't talk about it, then we'll take it whatever the next step. But in this case, when the way he's done that, and when the fact that he brought in his child and then a deceased member of his family, there is a certain line. But the thing about it, here's the situation, folks. This is in keeping with everything else that's been happening in this country in the last, 5 to 10 years, from the political thing and everything. There are no boundaries anymore. If you allow, we have a person that's running for office with, damn, how many felonies, how many times he's been impeached, and right now, come Tuesday, allegedly, they are tied. Tell me, in what other country can this happen? Really? And I'm not trying to be political about it, but I'm just calling for, all this columnist is an extenuation of what is happening in this country and the degradation and respect we have for one another as individuals in this country. Bottom line.
Look at what happened, yesterday with Jason Kelce. Somebody came at him wrong about his brother. You defend your family. Family over everything.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you call my brother out his name, I'm gonna smash your cell phone. Because you're just trying to instigate and poke and prod and get your little 5 minutes of fame off me. No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna smash his cell phone. I'm gonna lay them hands on him, so that's what I'm gonna do. So, go ahead, AD.
No, it's a continuation of a guy. I mean, there's a athlete that's now on the NFL Network. I'm not gonna call his name, and this is an incident that happened when he was still at a certain team. And we as media personnel, we can get full of ourselves, and I think KP. Will, and we've all been present on. I mean, there's some folks that I have to do, my colleagues. I sort of go like, I think I'd rather go out there and maybe throw garbage. Sometimes have to deal with some of these folks, man. But that's the reality of who we have to deal with, who we have to work with. Mm-hmm. Situation happened in the locker room. Guy stands behind and yells out at him, like he's not an individual, and would he do so and so? And guy said no. Then a few minutes later, he's just standing there. Hey, and he finally yelled back, and he more firm this time. I told you, I think that train has left the station. And knowing the situation, it was getting tense in that locker room. And I basically sort of broke the ice and asked him in a different way. But then, if you got hot maintenance folks, I'm not gonna swallow my dignity to deal with you. But there's a certain way. And then once and I approached him in a different way. When he got through and shout, I couldn't get the guy to shut up after the game. But there's a way. I mean, there's a way in any of us, because all the bottom line is Will, KP, KG, all of it. If we approach this with respect, to me, that's the bottom line. This is going across the board. we want to approach it in respect, but guess what? There's a degradation of humanity in this country and the way we approach each other now. And people just don't give a damn. They really don't. They just don't. And when you got that type of a degradation of what we want to do to personality and really don't give a flip one way or another. They just don't. And so into a real sense, man, you know, I don't blame him, but you know, but being in Philly, come on, we know in Philly they booed Santa Claus. And that was before any of this came about. So I remember the late Harold Gordon Tillman had a lot of KP and Will don't know, but he was one of the first elected black judges in this city. You know, did a radio talk show, and he had a saying: "Go consider the source, That, you know, and he was a thespian, an actor, and a lawyer, you know. But you know, he had a way of telling callers: consider the source, and when you consider the source, then you can see where a lot of this has enumerated and just sort of like volcanic eruption has come from. Look at the sources.
And let me say this. Part of what the writer wrote, you know, yeah, he brought in Joel's deceased brother and Joel's son. He also talked about Joel. He called him out, you know, get in shape. Didn't the Philly Six organization say and Joel say that he's lost weight in the offseason, he's gotten in shape? Didn't they say all that a month ago around media day? Yeah. He's not sitting out because he's overweight. He's not playing because they're trying to get his knee right, mm-hmm. and get him healthy. He's not fat. He's not overweight. He's lost weight. That's what they told us, right? That's what they told us. So
because that's the thing. So you rush him back before he's completely prepared to play the entirety of a season, and then all of a sudden come playoff time and you don't have him.
Then you say, well, once again, Joel, he can't play in the playoffs. Well, you can have it both ways. You want what do you want to play? Do you want to play in November?
You want him in November or you want him in
April or May?
Yep.
So, you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways to handle things. I just, you know, respect is lost in society and is going down and declining all over the place.
So is journalism.
Indeed. That's a fact. But I want to say this, and I'm tying it all together because I'm calling out hypocrisy. But first, I want to acknowledge Amir Abdul-Rahim's passing, head coach at South Florida last week, 43 years of age. Sharif Abdul-Rahim, brother, youngest brother. Reef, my gosh, how old is Reef now, Will? I mean, he was in the league, number two pick. How long ago? I mean, just long.
96.
Yeah, so I go back to Reef that long.
Yep.
So when Amir passed away, and the job he did at South Florida last season was damn near a miracle. A turnaround that he did because South Florida, being in the AAC with the Cougs for a long time, it's Florida. Tampa used to be a great recruiting, you know, area for you. Couldn't win. Didn't win. Had a head coach at one point, Orlando Antigua from Coach Cal's tree. Mm-hmm. Folks thought, well, he got the Kentucky connection. He's going to bring in some time. We're going to win. Nope. He didn't get it done. Coach Amir won last year. So much so, I voted for him as National Coach of the Year. Mm. And was shocked that enough folks didn't. I mean, do you realize what this man was doing, what he did last year? So when he passed away, all of the words and the plaudits and he was a great guy and may he rest in peace and love wins and we're going to do. And some of those same folks, I know for a fact, y'all full of stuff.
Hot air.
That's one way of saying it. Hot air. Because I've seen some of y'all post stuff about folks. And yet, other side of your mouth, oh, Coach Amir was such a great guy, and I learned so much from him. And I'm like, really? This is the man who believed, walked, talked, loved everybody, respect everybody, taught his players how to become men. And yet you, I've seen you do the complete opposite. But you're going to come at me and tell me, I'm like, okay, I'll see you. I remember how you are. So you know, it's amazing how some folks' true colors come out. So I'm just going to put that aside. Just put that out there. But okay. I want to get y'all's thoughts on this. A few days ago, Eddie Nunez, AD, the recently hired AD at the University of Houston, went on local TV, Brother Gibson, local TV, to announce the launching of the Houston Blue merchandise. Not Columbia Blue, because, you know, get in trouble with the NFL.
Yeah.
But Houston Blue merchandise. Will he announced it on local TV news, the morning news show. The merch is in sporting goods stores. It was on sale Friday. Unlike the previous AD, who, when he announced it, had when the Cougs wore it in the football game, what can I buy that? Oh, it's not for sale. You know, but yes, Corey, put it right there. It is refreshing to see Eddie Nunez get it, get the big picture. It is another source of revenue for the athletic department, which is sorely lacking and has lacked for years. It's available on campus in a bookstore. It's available around the city in sporting goods stores. And he wants to do more. And I'm just like, is this my university? This my alma mater? I'm shocked. But KP, what are your thoughts you heard about Houston Blue?
I thought the explanation was solid, because it wasn't just, hey, this is a gimmick, it was successful last year, but to tie it into the community and the city and the history of Houston and how much that the value of that color and how much it has resonated, you know, and it's not just law enforcement, baseball, just throughout Houston, the infrastructure of Houston, that color has played such a prominent role. So it's almost like, hey, we're reaching back to our roots and incorporating that as we go forward to build a new and bigger and better University of Houston.
KP, you are correct. But the previous AD, that was part of the spiel when they launched it previously. He just did a piss poor job of making it available for purchase. His marketing, he had no clue how to move with the NFL, work with the NFL, and figure out how to make it so they'd be okay with it, and then sell it. He had no idea what he was doing. That's why his ass is gone. You know, sorry. No, I'm not sorry. No. And I'm not going to say who. I think I told somebody here on the panel. I'm not going to say who specifically, but I was told weeks ago. It's like night and day, Chris, between Eddie Nunez and the previous AD. Like night and day is so much better.
Who was the previous AD?
I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, the man who ran from me when he saw me on campus. That dude.
Willie doing his Michael Jackson. You want to be starting something.
But yes, like night and day.
Chris, you sure he didn't run over there on South Main, because the folks on South Main figured that out last year with their Houston Blue when they came out with it, and they didn't have any issues.
But they were smart. They called it Rice Blue, something like that. Something simple. I mean, and it was available for sale on campus at Rice.
Last year.
You know,
In fact, they wore it again this year too.
Yep,
they have already worn that Rice Blue again this year.
And Rice shocked the football world. Well, the new head coach, they fired Coach Bloomgren, good guy, but you got to win. Will, KP, y'all know you got to win. AD, you know, oh. and what's new You know what Coach do? They beat Navy. The rain delayed the game for like 5 hours or something like that. But they beat Navy.
Well, hey, the thing, Chris, here's the thing about it. If it had not been for the Lightning, Navy might have just maybe could have sent the Frogmen out there to play them, you know, with all the rain. But it was so much Lightning going on. I mean, it was the darndest thing, man. I think only people that was left in the stadium were the equipment people and the folks that were cleaning the stadium. And I think they got the stadium clean while doing by the time the clock went zero. They had the stadium all clean. All the players had to go in there, take a shower, and go home.
And it was so weird because the distance between Rice campus and UH campus is like 4 miles.
Four miles.
UH K-State game was delayed for an hour.
Yeah.
Rice Navy delayed like 5 hours because of the lightning, because of the thunderstorm that was sitting over Rice Stadium.
I had a question, Chris. What? Yes, sir. To actually ask you this. When they fired the coach at Rice, any players left since he's been fired? Or
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I don't think.
No.
No? Okay.
No.
How is that?
They all are still there, Will. All those players are still there. Nobody as of yet that I'm aware of have put their name in the transfer portal.
But
it might be the timing of it all. You're more than four games in. So, like, even if you enter the portal now, you've essentially lost a season. So you might as well stick it out.
Finish it out.
The 30-day window opens when they fire the coach. I was just curious as to had anyone left. That's interesting.
But, KP, I want to let you know on the air, and Mr. AD and Brother Gibson as well. KP, you remember you and I talked about Shelton Henderson? Mm-hmm. He announced he's going to Duke. No shock to me. I found out a little while ago that Duke was his dream school.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are plenty of ties on the Duke staff with Shelton High School, Jay Lucas, John Lucas program, all that stuff. Kind of knows. No shock. But I say all that to say, a month or so ago, or 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months now, when Isaiah Harwell, the five-star choice, committed to the Cougs, Some alums are like, what does this mean for Shelton? What does this mean for Shelton? Blah, 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 blah. And first I said, well, maybe not much. But then a little birdie told me, oh, yeah, we're moving on from Shelton. Yeah, we're moving on. I was like, oh, okay. So his official visit was canceled to Houston, And his last schools were Duke, Louisville, and maybe Texas. And Louisville was coming up that outside rail, Will, with that bag coming up. And then Duke said, yeah, no, we come on, Shelton, we got you. So
yeah, I'm sure they had Coach K, you know,
yeah,
reach out to him.
And CA, Cougs did not miss out on John Clark. I know, understand where you're coming from. But as I touched on it, and you heard me on Thursday's show, Will, AD, John Clark is part of the TJ Ford grassroots program. TJ Ford went to what school? What college?
That school up in Austin.
John Clark announced he's going to KP's alma mater. No shock. No shock there. Yeah. TJ Ford is like, John Clark's not going anywhere else but Texas. Okay, take the visit. Do what you got to do. But young fella, you come on.
When you said TJ Ford, I mean, KP, I'm what I'm about to say. You already know about it. I mean, don't athletes don't like to leave from up there? They'll spend 5-6 years. Y'all either got some of the best NIL programs, or maybe it's the ambiance up there. I mean, it's guys that probably could be 1, 2, 3 draft picks oh, that's all right. I think I'm going to go back and play one more year on the 40 acres. And I'm sitting there going like, boy, it must be nice. It must be nice.
You know, hey, when you have your ambassador, Kevin Durant, you know, hey.
KP, did you shed a tear yesterday when the Aggies lost?
Wait a minute. Hold up. That's like asking
is that a Gibson. No?
hey, KG, that's like asking Willie Gibson. Can you enunciate that team up north? No,
Will, are you sad that the team up north is struggling?
The rival? No.
See what I told you? KP and Will and Willie Gibson are the prime examples of folks, you know, that, you know, they go like, they could care less.
Yeah, see, they bring a perspective from the ivory towers of athletics that little old me cannot provide from my little school.
Well, I put it like this. My alma mater is bowl eligible, so I'm shockingly,
with three games left in the season, the Fighting Willie Fritzes, they win two games. They'll be bowling. Who the hell would have thought that? I know I didn't. They've doubled up my prediction. I thought they'd get two wins this year.
What do they have left?
Yeah, you don't know what that's like.
What's bowl eligible?
Yeah, you don't know what that means. You know,
I'm unfamiliar with that terminology.
Y'all get this win through the first seven games of the season. Y'all, you know what that's like.
Man, you really don't have to rub it in.
I know college football playoff.
You don't understand that.
Man, what's this bowl eligibility that you speak
of? Fritz is unlike the previous head coach. Who
say we'll know. See?
He's already beaten a top 25 team.
Yeah,
in his first season. I don't believe that other guy did at all when he was at Houston. Just saying. To those folks who, oh man, I had to miss yesterday's show, Let's Rage Cook show, because of the delay. I had to go to the Rockets, so everything got pushed back. But oh, I wish I was part of the show, because there are some folks on Let's Rage Cougs who were saying Willie Fritz is in over his head. Oh my gosh, we hired the wrong coach. This was a mistake. Well, you know me.
Who said they hired?
Petty Tendergrass. You know, I'd have been on it. I'd have been. Oh my, I'd have been. Okay.
Chris, who do the Cougs have left?
Arizona, Baylor, and BYU. Arizona's struggling.
Arizona is winnable.
But Baylor's turned things around because earlier this season,
yeah,
we thought Dave Aranda was in trouble again, and he's right of the ship.
Is that game in Waco or is that a game here?
That is the game here in Houston, the senior day for the Cougs, and that is a game that they'll wear the Houston blue.
Okay.
And hopefully that'll be a sold out crowd and not of green.
Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath on that one. Don't hold your breath on that
one. Oh, I'm not. I mean, you know, I know better. But at some point, my fellow alums will realize, you know, it's time we support our football team and go to the games to see our team rather than waiting for who they're playing. At some point, it might happen after I die, but at some point it's going to happen. And when it happens, you don't have to worry about whether a game is a sellout. It's going to be this. Oh, yeah, it's expected. At some point.
Oh, Chris, can I, KP, I got a quick question for you, though. Has sanity came back to the 40 acres after Georgia came through there? After mm-hmm. It looked like, you know, Sherman marched through Georgia the way they made him manhandle the Texas offensive line.
Humility, yes, definitely. I mean, and especially the way they struggled to put away Vandy. Yeah.
See, that's why I respect KP, okay? Because there are far too many burnt orange people who are not – humble. who have no humility, who they see things through their burnt orange colored glasses in spite of reality staring them in the face. You know,
you got Florida coming up this week, which is, you know, Florida, they were competitive. They were more competitive against Georgia than maybe Texas was. But we'll see what happens, you know, Florida without their quarterback. So without their top two quarterbacks. So, you know, we'll see what happens 11 a.m. on Saturday. But, you know, definitely the game that is circled is that game at College Station.
Yep. And I'll bring this up as we wrap it up here. I said, yep, last week's show, I was not certain that the Cougs had turned the corner.
Okay.
And I was waiting for them to see what they do against K-State. Well, they beat Kansas State. Defense played well. And they're off. They got a bye week. Got two bye weeks this season. Mm-hmm. And their next game is Friday in Tucson, 9:15 kickoff. The defense has not played well on the road, except for Oklahoma. So we'll see what they do. And Arizona's up and down. I'm not putting anything past this team anymore. I'm just satisfied that the team has gotten better, and I just hope more and more alums will go into their wallets and buy some tickets. That's what I want. And I'm glad to see Eddie Nunez doing his part in terms of marketing and promotion, because that's also part of it. If you got fans who want to buy tickets and they make that phone call, someone needs to answer that call. Take that order rather than go to voicemail, or you only have one person in ticket office trying to handle that. Give me a break. That's just asinine. If you want to be a big time athletic program, you need to act like it in a lot of ways. And that's part of it. You got to take care of your customers, your fans. You got to give them reasons to want to support you rather than reason to. No. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression. So if you turn them off, well, I called, the phone just rang. I want to buy some tickets. Nobody answered my phone call. What is that? And Will, I'm not making that up. You know me. I'm not making that up. I know. So, all right, that'll wrap it up. Salute to everybody. AD, I'm glad you were able to join us, man.
I appreciate it. I mean, Sunday, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm bringing up the rear since I got Mr. Gibson and KP. You know, I got both of these from graduate these illustrious universities. So, I mean, I'm just humble. Just, you know,
I'm just honored that they decided to join us. You know, yeah, to share their insight with us. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. But Will, I will give you a call next week, though. We gonna follow. I'm gonna follow up on that. You and I, okay?
Absolutely. Please.
KP, last thing. Rockets, Knicks. Make a prediction.
Knicks.
I'm gonna lose. You gonna say something else?
Are gonna lose? What?
No.
Is it gonna be close?
Define close. Double digit.
You tell me. You give me a score.
9.
Whoa.
All right. Okay. And I'll be the Cougs men's basketball beginning their season Monday night at home against Jackson State. We're gonna do our first Let's Rage Cougs postgame show after that game. The women's team begins their season on Tuesday against Texas Rio Grande Valley. Then they go to Georgia later in the week. They're going to lose. And then the UH men's team faces Auburn this Saturday at Toyota Center, 8:30 start. It's part of a doubleheader with Rice and Florida State in the first game. So I'm looking forward to all of that, and we'll have a Let's Rage Cougs post-game show after that game. But first person up, Mr. Moore. How can folks get in touch with you, sir, on the social media?
Thank you, sir. Social media, you can catch me at AD_Moore64. That's X, Twitter, whatever Elon is calling it this time. AdMax Corner Instagram, and also Facebook, and also that. Catch me or follow me also on the AdMax Corner YouTube channel, because I'm running a lot of shorts running from the, in fact, I'll be at practice tomorrow afternoon for the Texans. You know, they done had their nice little day off and they done days after their Thursday night game. They got two primetime games coming up. They got the Detroit Lions coming up on Sunday Night Football coming up this, and then the following week they got Monday Night Football. They playing the Dallas Cowboys. So conceivably they can be 1-1 or they can be 2-1 or get to be 0-2. I don't see the latter. I can probably see them maybe going 1-1.
Brother Gibson.
Thank you again, as always. You can find me on social media at WillGibson7 on Twitter. I'm not changing. It's Twitter. Facebook, Will Knows. Instagram, Will Knows Sports.
And I just saw it. Ma'am?
And on Twitter, I'm at K Pulliams.
And see, that's so old. I didn't even change the X. I still have it up there as Twitter. See, my fault, Will. I got to put yours back to Twitter. I'm sorry.
All good.
And me, I am KG Chris Gardner on, I hardly use Twitter. So I'm just keeping it real. I'm not giving that man much of my time. So honestly, right. Especially what he's doing lately. You don't like it? I'm not bothered about you either way. But anyway, I am on Folks Talking Sports, IG and Threads, Folks Talking Sports, IG Spoutable, Threads and TikTok, Houston Round Ball Review. Get you that new merch. Got the new logo. I've received compliments on the new logo. I just put up and designed the new logo with the new mug. So it's on the bonfire.com website. So you can go check it out with the new mugs, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, and hoodie. Waiting on Brother Gibson to buy a Folks Talking Sports mug.
You are.
So he can take a sip out of that. You know, enjoy his hot chocolate or coffee as the weather gets cool.
It was 80 degrees today. I'm good. In Ohio in November.
At some point, it'll get cool in Ohio. At some point. Much cooler there than here. Yeah. But as always, thank you very much, everyone, for taking time to share your insight with us on this edition of Folks Talking Sports. Next Sunday, you said Texas have Sunday night game next Sunday, AD?
Yeah, so I will be doing the recap. Let's see, 7:30, probably about 11. Probably be the Texans post game recap against the Detroit Lions. Probably be on there about 11 after I get through doing all and cutting up everything. Hopefully, I try to be pushing about 11 at best.
Will, you said the Browns off got a bye week, right?
Bye week.
Okay, so let's KP. I know it's probably going to be too early for you. But let's see, AD and Brother Gibson, can we do, because we did AD was able to join us from the stadium before the game. Let's try to do that again next Sunday. How about that?
No worries.
But what time?
It's up to you. So, yeah.
No, yeah, I can. Yeah, that, because if you do it around about this time, yeah, I'm not bad.
Game's at 7, right? Game's at what, 7:15, 7:20?
Game is 7:15. Kick at 7.
Okay, so what time do you get to the stadium?
Well, probably 4 or 5.
So we'll work on the time, but before the game, like
okay,
half yeah, hour, like we done hour before the game.
Yeah,
that works.
Yeah.
You will.
That works. Yep.
Okay, appreciate that. And we might have a young lady from Houston, University of Houston, joining us to share her insight. Trying to get her in this mix as well. One of my mentees to join the flow. I really want her to hook up a KP so she can learn from a queen of sports. So we'll put that together as well. That's in my plans also.
Yep.
So everyone, thank you again for taking time out. Hope you enjoyed it. And y'all know.
Vote if you haven't.
Yep. Go vote. Get in line. Hey. Stand in line. I'm working the election all day. Starting my job starts at 5:30, 5 o'clock. And I'll be done when they say I'm done. Could be 9 o'clock or whatever.
Hey, when I got off the plane, when I got off the plane from Green Bay from last week, when the first day of early voting, I came straight from the airport, went got in line and got mine out the way because I didn't want to hear this noise. It's supposed to be 80% chance of rain here. What, Tuesday?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a technician, so I'm got to drive around, make sure everything's working. But that's all right. But just go vote, do your duty, and don't sit there and tell me my vote don't count. All right. You think that way?
It doesn't count if you don't vote.
Exactly. That's it right there. So, all right, everybody. Y'all know it. Since 1994, the Houston Round Ball Review. Local name, global perspective. Everyone, take care. Peace.
Deuces.